Welcome to She Reads, a podcast for book lovers everywhere. I'm Siobhan.
I'm Hunter.
And I'm Elizabeth.
She Reads, the podcast show.
I feel like we should address our slight vacation that we took from recording. Just,
yeah.
I
don't know what happened.
For our listeners,
life happened.
I think it started, it was my fault. I couldn't get my internet to upload a file. Oh, so yeah. Then we went off schedule because it wouldn't let me upload anything online for like 5 days.
Because you live in the middle of nowhere.
I do. And then we all just had things going on. Siobhan's sister got married.
Oh, my sister got married! Yeah. Hey, exciting.
And then I got a job.
You got a job.
I did. And
Elizabeth went traveling.
I went to Pittsburgh. Did. That's not really traveling.
Woohoo! The metropolis. The big metropolis.
The bustling metropolis of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But
I heard there's a really nice tunnel there. From the drive from the airport to the city, you, like, go through a tunnel?
Yeah, we didn't fly, we drove, wow. But we drove. But you know what, this is what I tell everyone, I would never, like, say to go to Pittsburgh, like, if you're looking for a fun weekend getaway, like, Pittsburgh is, like, not the first city I would recommend, but, like, if you have to go there for, like, a conference or something, like, it's not the worst city to go to, like, it's not an armpit, so.
Fair.
Yeah.
Better than Hamilton. Yeah.
It's kind of like, I think it's like akin to Hamilton, that sort of like steel town, like industrial type, but also like emerging art kind of. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So that's where we have been for the last month.
Yeah.
Sorry, listeners.
Whoops.
So what have you guys been reading for our month of being AWOL?
You know what? For not have been recording for a month, I really haven't read a lot. I finished Big Little Lies, which I, like, loved, and I thought it was, like, I really liked the HBO show, but I loved the book. I don't know what it is about Reese Witherspoon, but she options, like, the best books, and, like, also makes really quality, like, adaptations of them. So that was cool. And then I also...
I'm ignorant, but Big Little Lies, I assume it's a thriller, but is it?
No, I wouldn't call it a thriller.
No, it's, like,
okay.
Kind of has, like, mysterious elements to it, but kind of, like, not, I hate the term chick lit, but it's kind of, like, has all the workings of, like, the character, like, the women and their, like, relationship between each other, and, like, you know someone dies right at the beginning, but you don't know who it is, and...
Oh, so it's, like, Griplets.
Yeah,
sort
kind of.
Of.
But it's not, like, gory or, like, creepy.
No.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
And then I also read Shrill by Lindy West, and I really liked that. I just started listening to it one day, and then a few hours later, I was almost done, so, yeah.
Nice.
And then I also just recently finished So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson, which is basically all about public shaming, and I thought, because I heard about it on a podcast that I was listening to, and it was a story of... the one woman who went to I can't remember what her name is right now, but she went to a graveyard and basically her and her friends, if they ever see signs that says not to do something, they'll do this thing in front of the sign. So if there's like a no smoking sign, they'll like pretend to they'll smoke in front of it. And so they were at the cemetery and this sign said, please be quiet and respectful. So she was pretending to yell and giving the finger, and it was like a military cemetery. Which was, like, she did a stupid thing, but, like, the backlash that came about, like, on the internet was, like, insane. Mm. Like, she has, like, a lot of, like, mental health repercussions because of it. Like, she got fired from her job, like, because of this, like, stupid picture. And basically just talked about, like, public shaming in the age of the internet. So it was really interesting.
Right. Yeah, I feel like I've definitely heard a lot about that book on various podcasts.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I read.
All good reads. Lots of nonfiction. Mm-hmm. Cool. Hunter, what have you been reading?
So,
was your 5 books in 1 week during this last period?
Yes. So, I think in the last podcast recording, I said I felt a binge coming. So I thought, I'm going to go for a perfect week, and I'm going to try and read 7 books in 7 days. And it was going so well, and then I got a job. So I only managed 5 books in 7 days, but they were all, I enjoyed every single one of them. I read The Arrangement by Sarah Dunn, which I mentioned I was reading. I had just started. Right. I read The Circle by Dave Eggers. It was really long. It's a new movie with Emma Watson. The female protagonist, but the female character is honestly probably one of my least liked characters of all time.
Interesting.
But it...
Of all time? It was
like, I don't know. I feel like I need to watch the movie and see how Emma Watson does it, because I really did not like this character. Right. But I did like the book, and it's so important. Like, all of the subject matter are things that are prevalent in today's society with, like, social media and the lack of privacy. So I would recommend. I read The Ice Queen by Alice Hoffman. And I'm realizing that I don't think that I will dislike an Alice Hoffman book. And it was short and sweet and sad and the right ways. And I find her books that I've read so far all seem to have something to do with death. And I think it had a man who was, like, terminally ill from cancer. So... It hit close to home, but it, in the right way. It was a positive thing, so I really liked it. And I read The Illegal by Lawrence Hill. So good. So fast. Just such, like, important subject matter. But I read it so quickly that it didn't feel, like, heavy.
Right.
No, I know, that's what's so amazing about it. It really reads quickly. It reads like almost like a thriller because there's like so much action happening.
I finally read Why Not Me by Mindy Kaling.
Oh, yay!
And I liked it.
Oh, phew.
And then, so I tore through those in a week. And then I didn't read for the rest of the month until Sunday. And I can't go too into detail because I'm going to bring this up later in the podcast. But I read Come Sundown by Nora Roberts.
Oh, right.
Her latest, just released last week.
Yes.
And I couldn't read it in one sitting because I had to go to work, but I read it at lunch while I was at work. I got out of there as quickly as I could and sat and finished it before my mom got home from work, and we worked together. And I read The Wedding Girl by Madeline Wickham, which is one of the pen names of Sophie Kinsella.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I'm reading one of her books
right now,
actually.
Which one are you reading?
Interesting.
Okay.
The Gatecrasher.
No, so I read this one. I saw it online and I wanted to read it, and I ended up finding a copy on Amazon from the UK. And it came, and it was quick, and it was funny, and light, and my boyfriend asked what I was doing, and I said I was reading a book, and he asked what the book was about, so I told him the plot, and he immediately answered, that sounds like an early 2000s rom-com. And I checked the published date, and it was published in 1999. So I said, you know rom-coms too well. And it was so good, and so I just am a chapter into a new book called When You Find Out the World is Against You. By Kelly Oxford.
Oh, yeah. We've discussed this.
I also recently finished that. Yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah, I love Kelly Oxford. She's like one of my
I'm excited to read that. I feel like I want to read that like in a day at a cottage kind of thing.
You totally can.
Sorry, that was a lot.
So many books. That's gonna be a lot to write in the notes, guys.
Yeah. Hunter, did you also read Everything Is Perfect When You're a Liar? So that's Kelly's first book. It's also very, very good, but if you enjoy her second one, you should definitely read the first one as well.
I will
just add books to the list for you to check out, Elizabeth. Okay. Is that your complete
list? That is my complete to-date list.
Okay. I don't think I've read that many since the last we talked. I am in the process of reading at least two books right now. One of which is called Codename Verity by Elizabeth Wine. And it was suggested to me by the children's editor at work when adults badmouth YA or like children's literature, she's like, this is one of the books I tell people adults to read because it's so great. And it is really good mm-hmm. so far. Mostly has like a super badass female protagonist who isn't like a Katniss Everdeen character. Like, she's just like a real person. And it's set in World War II. Right. World War II. So she's just like having to survive war, but she's a spy. It's so good. So I'm partway through that. And then I started reading this past week, Notes from a Feminist Killjoy by Erin Bunker. And she's Canadian. She's an academic. She's based out of the East Coast right now. And it's some of it is fairly academic in tone, but it's very accessible, just kind of, there's only four chapters in the whole book, four or three, I could be wrong. And she starts it with this beautiful, like, letter to her baby in, like, what is the world going to be like when, like, what kind of world am I bringing you into? It's just so beautiful. There's so many lines. And like sections that are just so powerful and so prevalent to being a feminist, like right now, and just being like a person right now. It's so great. And my brother actually suggested I read it. So, I'm really liking it. So that's what I'm reading right now. I think that's all that I can think of that I've been reading. Oh, that's not true. I finished A House in the Sky like 2 weeks ago, which was very, such a well-written book. And the story is obviously super upsetting. For those who don't know, it's about Amanda Lindhout, or it's by Amanda Lindhout. And it tells the story of when she was kidnapped in Somalia with Nigel, who was an Australian photographer. She was working as a freelance journalist. And she was held captive for 460 days. I know, Hunter, you've read it. I know, Elizabeth, have you read it?
I have not.
Anyways, it's really good. So I just finished that a couple weeks ago, I guess. I think that's about it. Probably maybe mm-hmm. some other things that I've been reading, but those are what stand out. So yeah, a range of things. Very not cool. as many funny things. I need a good funny book next. Maybe I'll read Kelly Oxford.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it's nice to catch up to you with you ladies and all the books we've been reading. Well, I felt like we couldn't talk about what happened early May in Canadian publishing / journalism scene. So around May 12th, there was discussion of something called the Appropriation Prize, which eventually led to a couple people resigning in the Canadian publishing and journalism scene because of things that they said. And there was a lot of opinions that were broadcasted and vocalized following the wake of something that, you know, was called the Appropriation Prize, which obviously has a lot of implications and problems in what it is suggesting. So we are deciding not to put our foot in our mouths by saying the wrong things. And instead we are going to acknowledge that this is something that is going on in the current publishing and journalism scene. And we are going to acknowledge that by instead talking about our own unpopular opinions. But, you know, in a like less political and fraught way. So we're just going to talk about our own like unpopular book opinions about whether that's our
reading patterns or the things we've loved or the things we hated, and make our own kind of fraught discussions among the three of us, and you guys can listen in. So that's what we're talking about today. Unpopular cool. book opinions.
I can start with my first unpopular book opinion.
Okay.
So I hate Wuthering Heights. I think Heathcliff sucks. I think all the characters are stupid and annoying and whiny in their own special and not endearing way. I tried to read, I think we've talked about this before, where I'm not a book abandoner. Like, I will finish a book. Like, it may take me a long time, but I will finish a book. And Wuthering Heights was one of those books where I was just so frustrated and angry reading it the entire time. And I was honestly, like, reading it, I'm like, why am I even reading this? I hate every single character. Heathcliff especially sucks. Like, I just don't understand why people love, and people love this book. Like, people feel this way about this book, like I feel about Pride and Prejudice, but where I can see where, like, all the endearing bits of the characters and their flaws are, like, kind of good in Pride and Prejudice, in Wuthering Heights, they're just awful. And it's just so, like, the writing, it's just not for me. So, yeah.
Fair. Did you have to read it for school?
No, I didn't read it. I read it on my own choosing. Oh. So I think I might have liked it a little bit. I always liked books that I read in school that I right. think maybe I would, except for not, it wasn't White Fang. It was another book about a dog in the wilderness.
Ooh.
That, I had read it in grade 8, and I hate that book, mostly because we read it for, like, 6 months.
Oh, gosh. But... Well, I will say I also hate Wuthering Heights, and I did have to read it for school. But I want to say I didn't finish it, but I always thought the only book I never finished was a Dickens book. What?
Pillage
Cities. No.
Great Expectations.
No, because I had to read Great Expectations when I taught
Bleak House.
It.
Bleak
House. No, I don't know what it was. Oh, no, it was Great Expectation. I had to teach David Copperfield. That's right. Hmm. Anyways, that doesn't matter. I also do not like Wuthering Heights. And I just, like, didn't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I was in grade 9 when I read it. And maybe I should, like, try rereading it, because I definitely did not understand what was happening. But, like, I think my sister loves this book. And I do not agree. So.
I just don't get it.
I don't think my opinions are as eloquent as yours, Elizabeth, but I also did not enjoy it.
I think Heathcliff sucks isn't a very eloquent opinion.
Well, you said the characters were whiny and not special in any way or something.
Yeah.
Prettier.
I have never read it.
Well, there you go.
Don't bother.
Clearly you're not getting any rave reviews from us.
Yeah, you're not making me want to read it. Well, probably just not.
That's fair. Just a lot of weird things happen.
Yeah, and just, like, yeah, just, I just don't really see a point to it. And, like, it's not a love story where people think that it is. It's, like, horribly not.
It's not, right? Isn't it, like, an old lady and a young boy?
Well, it's this guy that goes to,
sounds super dumb.
It's told from, like, the narration style is also, like, weird, because it's this guy writing in his diary recounting something that's, like, the maid told him about Heathcliff's, like, love story with Catherine Earnshaw, and just, like,
right.
Yeah.
It's so confusing.
Anyway, like, there's too many layers.
There are. Clearly, it went right over my head. But I... Well, to spark a debate, or not a debate, but anyways, I don't really love, like, Pride and Prejudice and those books very much.
Yeah, like, the Regency, Victorian era.
Yeah, I just does not do it for me. Don't really, I mean, what's his name that everyone loves? Darcy. Darcy?
Yeah, Darcy.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Because it's the, yeah, I mean, I won't try to explain it. That's not what we're doing today. But, yeah, I can see why.
That's there's okay. like a very, it's like, my like opinion. Pick and,
yeah, exactly. It's very, like, there's people that just, like, love it and, like, want to live in that area. Love it. Yeah. And I just don't get most of it.
I'm like, I'll just stay in the 20th century, even though it's just as fraught and terrifying. 21st century. Yeah, that's me. What about you, Hunter? Do you have any unpopular opinions?
Well, if we're still sticking with, like, the Victorian era, I would say that I...
Sure.
I didn't mind Pride and Prejudice. I can definitely acknowledge that it's a good novel, and I get why people are so crazy about it. But just about every other friggin' book that I had to read by her, I could not get through. There's one, I'm blanking on what it's even called, but there's a...
Sense and Sensibility. Northanger Abbey.
Emma. Emma. Persuasion. Emma was such a whiny brat. I couldn't stand it. She drove me up the wall.
But aren't most of her characters annoying?
And like, she did specifically say that she, when she was writing Emma, that she wanted to write a character that nobody would like.
So I guess I just fell into her plan, but I feel kind of like meh about, I'm feeling meh about Jane Austen.
Jane Austen? Yeah. Well, I think of whiny characters and I immediately think of Fanny Price, who is so whiny. Yeah.
Fanny Price is very whiny. I do not like Fanny Price.
But, like, I understand what Jane Austen is doing. Like, I think Fanny Price is a really interesting character. But, yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
But enough hating on
I'm just, like, going to my happy place, like, because you know that when I was in Bath, I went to the Jane Austen Museum, and I dressed up in Regency-era clothing, and it was amazing.
See, there's something for everybody. That's just not for us.
Have you seen that movie, Austenland?
Okay. Yeah, I haven't, no, but...
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, of
it's
course.
It's quite entertaining.
See?
Yeah.
You've seen it. You've both seen it.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Right. I'll watch it next.
Okay, I can go again with an unpopular opinion that I feel very strongly about. And it's that
I thought you were going to attack Hunt, Elizabeth.
No, I will...
We'll just do it all in one shot.
I will
shot.
Wait for that. For the end. Go out with a bang. Okay, so this is... I have a deep love for the New York Times best-selling author, Nora Roberts. And
I love that that's how you define her.
Well, if you look at her interesting facts on her website, you will know that she has been on the New York Times best-selling list for over 20 consecutive years worth of time.
That's amazing.
Go, Nora.
Also, she has, like, almost 220 books out.
Wow. Like,
how? She's a machine.
She must have, like, another writer working
on her. Don't you dare say that about her. No, I do think it's likely.
What kind of stuff does Nora Roberts write?
She is, like, the, I'm saying this with air quotes, chick lit contemporary women's fiction. She's in the romance section of the chapters, Indigo Store. Closest to you. She has like three different styles that she writes in.
And she has different series. Does she have different series?
Yeah,
as well?
So she does.
Like, do characters repeat themselves?
Okay. I'm gonna explain this. She has two names that she writes under, Nora Roberts and J.D. Robb. And so J.D. Robb's books, they're crime fiction about a female detective. It's set in the future a little bit. They're pretty, they get a little dark or violent at times. Then she has her first, like, Nora kind of persona, and that's usually all the books are either in a trilogy or, a series, or they connect. So she has, like, the Boonesboro Inn series, and that's three brothers who buy this old beat-up inn, and then they refurbish and remake it to this amazing, of course, really expensive inn, and they all fall in love throughout the process. So, like, the first book will be the oldest brother, and then the middle brother, and then the young, like, rebel brother will be the last book. And you can always tell who's gonna fall in love with who at the beginning of the books. They're not, like, there are no twists and turns to an Oral Roberts book. You can see things coming from a mile away. And for some reason, I still just love it. Ugh.
Sometimes you just love
consistency. I'm getting worked up here. And so then her final persona, you usually can tell which books these are because she prints them in hardcover. And they're a bit more in-depth.
So the rest of her stuff doesn't come out in hardcover?
No, so most of her books come out in trade paperback with folding flaps and deco edge.
Interesting. Which is, always or only recently?
Probably for the last, like, 6 or 7 years. And so that's what started my love for flaps on paperbacks. But I honestly can remember the first time I read one of her books, I thought I was being, like, really badass because I was buying a book from the romance section. And someone had recommended it to me, and it's a trilogy, and I bought all three books at once, and I read them all, like, that day. They're quick. And now I own almost every book that she has published. I've read a lot of them more than once. And when I found out that Come Sundown was being released last week, I needed to have it. I needed to buy it. I needed to read it. So I bought it on Saturday when I was with my boyfriend. I couldn't start it because he would get mad at me. And I need to stop talking about him in this podcast because I still need to...
I know, also, you need to
I need to address that after this little rant, but...
Rant.
Also, so as soon as I got home on Sunday, I picked it up and I started reading it. And I finished it first thing Monday evening after work, and it was just pure joy for the entire time.
Oh, that's the best feeling.
Up until a couple of weeks ago.
And I suppose that's an...
Many of her books had a 5-star rating on Goodreads, on my Goodreads. That's how much I liked her, until I realized that this probably wasn't the best, like...
That's huge.
I did. I moved them down to 4 stars.
Wow.
Ouch. Poor Nora. She is personally offended, I'm sure.
I just... Ugh. So good.
So funny. And I guess you're saying that's an unpopular opinion because she's, like, not highbrow.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would put her in, like, the borderline smut category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever. Whatever entertains you.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, read whatever makes you happy, but...
I know that...
So, yes, are you gonna...
There are some people that I've went to university with that have, like, laughed when they saw me with a Nora book. But I just can't get enough of her.
And your mother also reads all of her books, right? So you're sharing well.
And none of the Nora Roberts books go on my beautiful color-coordinated shelf because they have to go all together. And I have so many of them, they would take up an entire IKEA shelf.
That's so funny. So are you going to apologize to said boyfriend?
Yeah, I guess I should do that. It was pointed out to me that last episode I said something that my boyfriend was not happy with, and that's sort of along the lines that I said he doesn't like anything with a happy ending, which I will say it is not true at all. He appreciates a classic happy ending, but he also loves something that is left open so that he can think about it, and he's really smart, so his brain is always working, and...
You're very kind.
Yes, and I love him, so I can't make him upset with me. Even though I got ripped apart on his podcast, which, oh yes, here's a little props for him. Plug. Plug, that's the word I was thinking of. My boyfriend has a podcast with a couple of his friends called Resting the Starters. It's comedy and sports. And if you really like sports, you should listen to it because they can talk for hours and I don't understand it and I have trouble keeping up, but it's really funny to hear them just going off in these weird voices about different figures in the current sports market area. I don't know.
So on the entirely opposite spectrum of what we're doing, but maybe you like books and sports. So
you can like both.
They all, it's true. They all listen to this podcast.
I know. So kind of them.
No. Okay. Well, I called a jersey a costume a few weeks ago, so I don't think I'm going
to be listening. No sportsing for Elizabeth. I love it. So good.
Cool.
Someone else have an unpopular opinion?
I can share one of my probably most controversial.
I'm so upset.
Opinions.
Already.
I do not think that Snape deserves as much praise that people give him. I think I know that he loved Lily, and I know that his heart, his little shattered heart, was shattered in a million pieces. I don't think that justified how much of a raging asshole he was to children.
Okay. I'm sort of fully in support of this unpopular opinion. Snape had very conflicting feelings towards Harry, whereas with his appearance of his dad that he did not like, but the thing is, even if he had conflicting feelings about Harry, why was he so mean to Neville?
Yeah, exactly.
That poor boy.
Yeah.
And, like, if you don't like children, you probably shouldn't be teaching at a school. Like, I know that there's the whole, like,
he had to thing be close that you to... had
with Dumbledore, but I'm sure there was a research position there.
No, they don't have RAs.
Like, I don't know. It makes me, because as a child, and when you're also reading Harry Potter, like, as a kid, and then, like, when you read it as an adult, you have, like, when you're, as a kid, you don't have, like, that understanding for, like, Snape, because you just see it from, like, oh, he's just a mean teacher, but then when you're an adult, you're like, hey, this is kind of fucked up, like, even if, like, you don't like Harry, he's still, like, a separate person from his father, and you can not like him or think that he's, like, arrogant or whatever, because he is. But you're still the adult in this situation, and you still need to act like you're the adult.
I also wonder.
But he's so misunderstood.
I wonder if part of Snape's turnaround in the public opinion has something to do with Alan Rickman.
Yeah, I think it has everything to do with Alan Rickman.
Because people just loved him so much that... he made...
Right. They also loved him before he died. It's not just like people are like, oh, he's dead. Oh, we love Snape so much.
Yeah, yeah. No.
They did love Snape before Alan died.
Yeah.
Alan, look, we're best friends.
Al.
I guess so. I mean, yes, he is mean to children. But it's nice to think that, like, Harry had another father figure, like, looking out for him, sort of.
But he wasn't really, like... I think it was still, like, selfishly motivated in the end, because he wasn't doing it for Harry, he was doing it because he loved Lily. And that was, like, I think also, like, a selfish thing on his part.
Yes. I accept your unpopular opinion.
You don't have to agree with it, but you can accept that it's a
way to read it. Like, he's not my favorite character, but I do love him. I also just really like, what's the word? I can't think.
Unlikable.
Not unlikable. He's likable.
No, misunderstood.
Misunderstood.
I love misunderstood. Like, my favorite, like, the Hulk, love him, so misunderstood. Wolverine, also love him.
Fair enough.
Shiloh from The Merchant of Venice. Shiloh? Okay. That's not his name, Shylock.
Shylock.
God, I can't talk. Also, like, one of my favorite Shakespeare characters of all times, because he's so misunderstood. I cannot think of who else.
Speaking you know, of Shakespeare.
I know. I know. Nice segue there, eh?
Yeah, nice segue.
Segue?
Speaking of, yeah.
Is that the word? Yeah. Speaking of Shakespeare. I don't know. I feel like I've had this argument with a lot of people, and either people say that Shakespeare, like, has no more value to be taught, and he shouldn't be taught in schools anymore, or they think that he should. And I think that he still has a lot of value, mm-hmm. despite the fact that, yes, he is an old white dude, but I think we would be in
old
very...
white dudes still have valid things to say. They just are not the only demographic that have right. valid things to say.
We need to listen and read Shakespeare, plus other things. Mm-hmm. Lots of other things. And, like, take it with a grain of salt. But, yeah, I think that he... obviously, he did a lot for our language. He did a lot for, like, the various forms of writing that he wrote in. Not just plays, but sonnets, etc. I'm not going to sound very smart about this, but I do think that there's a lot of value to teaching Shakespeare. And I wish that Shakespeare had been taught better to me in high school, because I did choose to, like, take it in undergrad, but kind of just because it was, like, a course that fit my schedule. And then I really mm-hmm. learned how to, like, read Shakespeare and appreciate it for what it was. And it was, like, this whole new awakening of an, like, a actually understanding his plays. And being like, what was I doing during high school, because I did not understand anything.
See, I had the exact opposite experience with Shakespeare. So I had like a really, I had really amazing high school English teachers, and mm-hmm. they, I had a really good like understanding of reading Shakespeare when I was in high school, and then I went to university and I took a Shakespeare class, and I just like hated the professor so much, and because of that he. Like, totally warped my way. So, like, I still think Shakespeare is valid, and I think Shakespeare should still be taught in schools, but I, like, kind of hate reading it just because I associate now with just, like, this professor that just said so many... Well, he was just, like, an old white dude who was, like, so stuck in his ways, and, like, he tried saying, like, in The Taming of the Shrew that, Petruchio, right?
Yeah.
He actually, like, really loved Catherine, and that's why, like, he was doing everything. He wasn't doing it because he, like, was getting anything out of it. He was just doing it because he loved her. And I was like, there's a lot of different ways you can interpret, but I do not think that that is one of them. So, I don't know, he just said, like, a lot of other problematic things. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think that that's correct.
Right.
Like, by any stretch of the imagination.
I mean, I think teachers do have a lot of, well, I think a lot of sway in how we interpret Shakespeare, and also a lot of books that we are, like, told to read in school or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
they totally. Definitely have a big, play a big role in that. And probably play a big role in a lot of our unpopular opinions, like Wuthering mm-hmm. Heights, etc. Even though you didn't have to read that for school.
No, but... Rory Gilmore read it, so did I.
Oh my gosh!
Oh
that's
my god.
Thing. But yeah, I think that he deserves to be taught forever. Forever and ever. I mean, he made up so many words that we still use today. Everyone knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Props to him
for that. Go Billy.
Go Billy.
My.
I don't know. Yeah, that's that. I guess thinking about school... To be interested in Canadian Lit, the fact that I didn't read Atwood until grad school, not the best. But I also for a long time assumed that I didn't like Atwood.
Yeah.
Like her writing.
Right.
Which is probably an unpopular opinion.
I think that, yeah, I didn't read a lot of Canadian literature at all throughout school. Even in my, this is my bad, but in my undergrad, I didn't take the Canadian Lit course. And I think it had a lot to do with the fact that I had never really been told what was Canadian and what wasn't, and so then I didn't feel like it was necessary or interesting. And then when I went for my master's, I had one prof that was so... she's so involved with Canadian literature. So we had a course, and it was just Canadian memoirs and autobiographies. And it was so interesting, and we read so many different things that I was like, why were we not told to read this in high school? There are so many female Canadian authors that are so incredible, and they're never actually given, like, a course or a moment. They weren't in my education, that is. Like, Alice Munro's collection of works is... It won the Nobel. Like, it's amazing. And, like, Miriam Taves is sad, but also very good. And Margaret Atwood. And there's so many. And P.K. Page. And she's, like, the Trent goddess. So... it's sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think schools, from my experience of schools, like Canadian Lit has been a pretty big part. In my undergrad, we had to take a Canadian Lit class. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
outside of the academia, I don't know how far Canadian Lit
reaches. I always found it really interesting when in my undergrad, we had to take like two courses in British literature, but no courses
in Canadian Lit. Yeah, see, that was mine too.
No.
Yeah.
That's so upsetting!
And I had to take an American Lit course.
Oh, weird.
Mine is a little different because I don't have a literature degree, it's in rhetoric, so I only had to take, like, besides the Brit Lits, like, two other literature courses, and it was from, like, a list of, like, options. So I took, like, American Lit and I took a Jane Austen class.
Mine was in, there was different... categories, and you had to get a certain amount of credits from each category, and you had to have a credit in Shakespeare and half a credit in British and half a credit in American, but a lot of the options were British or American, so then that's what you took. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Anyways, I think Canadian Lit's important, and
I agree.
I think that I need to read more before I form opinions about authors. And I shouldn't just form opinions based on what other people tell me. That's what I learned from my experience of reading Atwood. So I will read more.
Very good.
Okay.
Any other unpopular opinions? I know that Hunter has one that's gonna blow us all away. I don't know. Do you want to end with that?
Yeah, I guess I will. So, when I was a child, for Christmas one year, I was given a box set. And I think it was, like, classic, like, little girl novels. So, included in the set were A Secret Garden and A Little Princess, which... I could read those books over and over again, and I feel like I've mentioned them before. They're classics from my childhood. And it also included Anne of Green Gables. And I did not connect with Anne of Green Gables, besides the fact that we share the same hair color and freckles. And I did not like it. I don't think I finished it, and I lost the copy.
Oh no, Elizabeth, are you holding it together?
I'm fine.
It really sounds like you're almost crying. You're like, is she okay?
It's fine. It's like I'm that one meme where it's like the dog in the fire. Like,
yes! Like,
everything is fine.
That's so funny. That's funny.
Do
you think you would like it now if you went back to it?
I don't know. It's hard. I think that when I was a child, I went through a phase where I hated anything that had to do with red hair because random strangers would walk up to me and touch my hair. And so I was like, a redhead character. And then I just found her kind of like, I don't know, whiny.
She is Looney Tunes. Yeah, I can see that. She's kind of, she's out there. You know,
I had to read Ellen Montgomery's journals, and they were hilarious. And, like,
yeah, don't you love Ellen Montgomery?
She's so sassy and weird, and I really enjoyed them, but I don't, I honestly don't have an urge to reread Anne of Green Gables.
Funny.
And I...
Well, I also only read it in undergrad.
Oh.
I must have read it when I was little, but I don't remember. But I had to read it for my Canadian Lit class.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And then my mom was like, oh, I have all of them. You can read my collection. And I was like, oh, Mom, you're amazing.
Yeah, there are, like, 7 books in the collection.
Yeah. I don't. I definitely did not read all of them. But I did like the first one very much.
Mm-hmm.
She's so whimsical. Yeah. And misunderstood. See? I like a good misunderstood character.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I think that was fun. Next week we're going to get back to a kind of review episode like we did with Atwood. Is that the plan? Okay. So that'll be fun. I think we're going to try and do that like maybe every other week. More often.
Yeah. More of a discussion of a specific book. Like a book club, if you will.
Like a book club, but also with our own opinions.
And then if said book has an adaptation, we will bring that into the picture.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, I think that it's fun to like look at how the world is adapting books. Before we wrap up?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can start with my question that I have for both of you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah!
And
for our dum-da-da-dum
daily dose of Harry Potter, even though we've already mentioned it earlier in this episode.
Though we have. You're right.
So, lately, my Instagram and Facebook feed has been filled with people taking pictures of their 20th anniversary editions of Harry Potter. And they're done in the house colors, so you can pick which house color edition you purchase. And what I was wondering is, would either of you purchase one of these anniversary editions?
No.
I don't think so. What I want is a full set of the original hardcover. Like, I want to complete my set because I have like, a couple softback and then some hardback, but I'm missing some. That's what I want.
Yeah. But in terms of, like, buying, like, I don't know. I don't think that I would just because, A, I don't, like, specifically identify with, like, one house that strongly because we've been over this many times. But also, to me, like, the Harry Potter story in and of its, like, the houses are a part of the Harry Potter story, like, they're not, I don't, like, to me, I wouldn't want something that's so, like, just a bit of the story. That'd be, like, having just, like, all, like, house elves on the covers, to me. That's how it feels. I mean, that would be actually really funny, too, but...
If you think about it, every character in the Harry Potter series actually has character traits from more than one house, and that's... I feel like that's
totally
something that she was, like, trying to stress, that it was okay to be of more than one.
Yeah.
I mean, if we take anything away from the new book, what's the new book? The 8th book?
Cursed Child.
I feel like that is what you take away, is that you're not really, like, in one house. You can be...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're put into Slytherin, etc.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with being in Slytherin. I feel like Slytherin's always got a bad rap.
I know. But also people love to say that they're a Slytherin. And it's such like a thing.
It's like
cool,
people,
I get it. You're edgy. Like,
Gryffindors and Slytherins love that they're Gryffindors and Slytherins.
I know.
And I know that you both are Gryffindors, so.
I know. This is true. Anyways, I will not be buying them.
Yeah.
Though. I don't know.
Will you buy them, Hunter?
I don't think they're, like, that pretty, though.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're not so pretty that I need it. And
right. Unlike those, like, beautiful editions of the Penguin, like, illustrated yeah. floral yes. covers. I don't know what those are, but you know what I'm talking about.
My, yeah. here, I have another unpopular opinion.
Hmm.
JK needs to stop. She needs, not, okay, not in the way that you, it might have come across. My thing right now is, like, that woman is rolling in it. And these anniversary for editions sure. are going to bring in so much more money for her. And same with the Fantastic.
But I wonder how
the Fantastic Beasts. She printed, published the script. People were, like, running yeah, to the store saying, oh, I liked the movie, but, you know, I have to read the book. And it was like, no, it's the script.
That's just the script.
It's, there's no differences. It's not a novel. That is literally...
Do you think it's just because of the popularity of Cursed Child, they're just trying to suck it for everything?
Totally. Like, I definitely wonder how much, like, is the publisher making these decisions and how much is her making the decision? Or if it's just, like, they come up with this idea and she's like, sure, yes, you can do that. You have my sign
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
Like, I really seems to me like it's more of, like, a publisher's goal than JK being like, huh, let's make more money.
Like, I totally support her bringing out new material. Like, the Pottermore Presents series, that gave me life. And The Cursed Child, it was something new. And even though I have mixed feelings about it, it was important. But I just, I don't know, I'm struggling with this whole new edition thing.
Fair. Yeah, I don't know. I just think
that
they're,
all on
like,
your side.
Yeah, I just think that they're, like, unnecessary for someone like me. But also, like, that's, like, a collector's item. Like, that's something that you, like, put on a shelf. Because you would never buy, like, an 8-year-old the, like, Gryffindor. Well, they probably, because I feel like every 8-year-old wants to be Gryffindor. But, like, you wouldn't buy, like, those editions for somebody who's reading the book the first time.
No. Anyways, those won't be up on our Instagrams.
No. Unless somebody wants to, like, buy me the Ravenclaw and the Hufflepuff edition.
Oh my gosh. And then would you organize them by book or by house?
I would make... Actually, I would find another person who identifies as Ravenpuff and I'd split them with. So I'd do half of the Ravenclaw books and then mix them in with the Hufflepuffs. Aww. And then, yeah. That's what I would do. Sweet.
Would you pick your favorite... Anyways... I could ask many questions.
Yeah, no, I would definitely... Well, I don't know, like, what I would do with, like, the order of the... I don't know what I'd do with the Order of the Phoenix, because I don't know which house I, like, really identify with more. It changes day to day.
Right. Exactly. That's what we, like, how do you pick a favorite? Because then you, like, you don't have a favorite house.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'll just buy them all, and I'll just put them underneath my pillow and sleep with them every night. That's the only logical thing.
Okay. In other Harry Potter news, there's a Voldemort TV series that's maybe coming out, but I don't really understand what it is, and it looks like it's a
fan thing.
Fan-produced thing? Is it actually going to be made, though?
It's a fan, like, film or something. Yeah, it's a fan-made film.
Is it a film or a TV series?
I am seeing film.
A web series, perhaps? I don't know, I didn't read anything.
We did not do our...
many articles. I'm not gonna lie, when I first saw the trailer.
Fan made, not for profit effort. Offers the early years of Tom Marvolo Riddle.
So it says that in most cases, a fan made film that has a high production value will be shut down for copyright laws and infringement. But this film is a rare case that an independent film studio will be releasing this film. J.K. Rowling has given her permission.
Wow.
Which she has always
interesting.
Been, like, very supportive of fan
fiction.
She's
a fan
fiction.
Of extending her world. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. it's a
cool.
fan-made film that's actually going to be coming. Well, I think it still needs a blessing from Warner Brothers, but it'll probably be released online.
More to come. Very cool. Exciting. I think that's all the Harry Potter news for the week. Mm-hmm. Some Canadian news. Good news in terms of, since we're not talking about the Appropriation Prize and all that came with that, some good news in the Canadian publishing world is that there was an Indiegogo campaign or crowdfunding campaign for an Emerging Indigenous Voices Prize. And when Quill Inquirer wrote about it, they said that it was started by a Toronto lawyer, Robin Parker, and that had raised more than $90,000. And currently, I just checked before we started recording, they've raised over $108,000, close to $109,000. Raised by just under 1,500 backers. And so I don't know, it'll be interesting to see what the premise of the award is, etc. But if anything, it hopefully means some good news for Indigenous writers in Canada in terms mm-hmm. of being able to actually afford to write and or be awarded for their writing. So hopefully something good comes of that, and it's exciting to see that Canadians care about funding Emerging Indigenous Voices. Hooray!
Agreed. In other exciting news, Zoe Whittle, who wrote The Best Kind of People, who was a Giller finalist this past year, has signed a 2-book deal with HarperCollins and Ballantine. And the first book from this, called The Spectacular, is going to be published in both the U.S. and in Canada in fall of 2019. So we're very excited to see that next book. I personally haven't read The Best Kind of People yet, but anyone that I've talked to that has read it said it was an incredible read.
Yeah. Hunter and I have both read it. I think. We talked about it.
It was.
And another Canadian author getting recognition she deserves.
Very. Mm-hmm.
Hooray! Yeah.
Hooray.
And nice that it's being co-pubbed in the U.S. as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. I think that's about it. BEA was this past week in America.
Book Expo America. Isn't Book Summit like this week or next week?
Yeah, Book Summit is this coming week.
Wow. This time last year we were going to that.
Crazy. Yeah.
Crazy.
So all the summer conferences are happening. Yeah. Exciting times.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it for us.
Awesome.
Yeah. Nice chatting, ladies.
Yeah.
Right.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to She Reads. If you haven't already, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you like, you can rate us and leave us a comment. You can check out all the books we've talked about today through our show notes on our website, shereadspodcast.wordpress.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter @shereadspodcast. Special thanks to our fairy god musician, Gavin Sutton. Again, thanks for listening and happy reading.